First, Vice President Mike Pence is meeting with Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido in neighboring Colombia today. The two were expected to discuss plans to unseat President Nicolas Maduro.
The visit comes after a U.S.-backed effort to deliver humanitarian aid from Colombia ended in violence this weekend. Forces loyal to Maduro fired tear gas and buckshot at activists trying to deliver those supplies. They also lit some of the materials on fire. At least two people were killed and 300 wounded.
Speaking yesterday on Fox News Sunday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo would not rule out American military force to oust the Maduro regime.
We've said every option's on the table. We're going to do the things that need to be done to make sure that the Venezuelan people's voice, that democracy reigns, and that there's a brighter future for the people of Venezuela.
All right. Eduardo Gamarra is a professor of political science and the founding director of the Latino Public Opinion Forum at Florida International University. He also researched and served as a consultant in Venezuela and other Latin American countries. He joins us now to talk about the latest news from that country. Eduardo, welcome to Central Time. Eduardo, do we have you? And we...
Hello?
Hi, Eduardo, are you there?
Hi. Yeah, I'm sorry there was an interruption there. Anyway, pleasure to be with you.
Okay, glad to have you. Glad you're here. Let's dig right in, and let's take a step back and just review how we got here. We have two men both claiming to be Venezuela's president. We've got Maduro, who won an election last year and was sworn in last month, and Guaido, who is the president of the National Assembly. Why are both men arguing that they are in charge of the country?
It's a long story. I'll be brief. Maduro was elected president via what many claim to be a fraudulent election last year. The problem with that election is that it was convoked by a constituent assembly that he called in his attempt to forestall an attempt to call for a recall referendum that would have ended his presidency early. The recall referendum was called by the National Assembly, an assembly that is dominated by the opposition, an opposition that won an overwhelming victory at the polls in December of 2016. So essentially what you have is a legislative body elected by the Constitution and a legislative body called the Constituent Assembly elected by just simply Maduro's followers, which then convoked an election that essentially elected Maduro. Now, Maduro's term was supposed to end, his constitutional term was supposed to end on January the 10th. On January the 10th, the opposition claimed was the end of his term. Therefore, after January the 10th, there was a vacancy in the presidency. Maduro had himself sworn in by that constituent assembly that he selected. And of course, under the Constitution, when there is a vacancy in the presidency, then the president of the National Assembly becomes interim president for a period of 30 days, during which he has to call for elections. So I know that's complicated, but that's essentially where we are today.
Well, and let's talk about the circumstances even leading up to this in the first place. I think in order to fully understand what's happening now, we have to talk about the economic situation in Venezuela. What have we seen there in the last couple of years?
Well, Venezuela is probably, I would say, a unique case in world history. It is the wealthiest country in Latin America. And probably, just given its natural resources, we might say that it's maybe even proportionately wealthier than the United States. Yet it is also an incredible case of economic mismanagement. It has right now, according to most calculations, somewhere between 2 and 10 million percent hyperinflation. Projections are that at current rates, it could reach as high as 20 million percent hyperinflation by December. Now, I lived in Bolivia with 26,000% hyperinflation in the mid-1980s, and I can tell you that it was difficult to calculate then what anything costs from second to second. I can only imagine what it is like today in Venezuela.
We are talking with Eduardo Gamarra. He is a professor of political science and the founding director of the Latino Public Opinion Forum at Florida International University. And we are talking about what's happening right now in the country of Venezuela. And as we mentioned earlier, Vice President Mike Pence is currently in Colombia meeting with Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido. What do we know about what they're talking about today and in the coming days?
Well, the meeting in Bogota really brings together the Latin American democratically elected governments in a group called the Lima Group, headed by the Colombian president, but it also includes presidents like the newly elected president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, the president of Peru, and in total about 16 countries, including the United States and Canada. They are the ones who have essentially not recognized Maduro as president. They have imposed sanctions, and those sanctions, of course, are the ones that are having the kind of impact on the Venezuelan economy that's essentially accelerating also the rate of hyperinflation. They are discussing the incidents or the events of Saturday when the convoy of humanitarian assistance was essentially fired upon by the police forces, the National Guard in Venezuela, and none of the aid was allowed into the country. So the group now, with Vice President Pence, is discussing options, what to do now following Saturday. Will they find additional sanctions? And it's hard to think about how many more sanctions can be imposed. And in fact, there's probably, because the U.S. has put it on the table, there's probably also discussion of what military options might be considered.
Do we know anything about the level of support for the Maduro regime within the country right now? According to the BBC, there were more than 100 soldiers that defected over the weekend during what you were just talking about. So what do we know about the amount of support that that regime currently has within the country?
Look, I've been conducting public opinion polls in Venezuela for about a decade. We stopped about a year ago. It's interesting, but Maduro still has a modicum of popular support, largely people that have benefited extensively from his social programs and the like. By the same token, the military is one of the most important beneficiaries of the kind of patronage and support that Maduro and the whole Chavez regime, going back to the early 2000s, really bestowed on the military, with an awful lot of presence from Cuba. And this is really what's significant. The role that Cuba has played in the strengthening, the training, and really the ideological, indoctrination of the Venezuelan military. So while we have now reports of a significant number of defections, we still don't have, the kind of defections that we will need to see any change in the military structure there.
Secretary of State Pompeo, as we heard in the intro there, has said all options are on the table for the United States and how they may work to remove Maduro from power. And military action is not off the table here. And I'm wondering if you see that having to be the case, if American military forces will need to get involved here.
There are a couple of things that I'm concerned about, and I think most people who know Venezuela are concerned about. One, the humanitarian action on Saturday did not have, any kind of, well, what do we do if it fails, other than escalating this into what the U.S. has been saying now for over a year. President Trump has been threatening some form or other of military action in Venezuela. And this has raised an enormous amount of expectations, especially from people that are just waiting to see the regime fall. And these expectations, of course, are unreasonable, because Venezuela is not Panama, for example, where the U.S. intervened in the late 80s. It's not Grenada, where the U.S. intervened in the early 80s. This is a very complex country, And the Venezuelan conflict is no longer just a Venezuelan conflict. It involves the United States, the rest of South America, and so on. But it also involves other key actors like Russia and China in particular. So I think, you know, that it's dangerous to talk about military intervention as if we could just simply resolve the Venezuelan situation overnight. I think that would be a protracted conflict. Even though Venezuela is not Iraq or Afghanistan, you know, this is a Western country, as Senator Rubio likes to say. But I think it would certainly not be a cakewalk just going in and taking over Caracas. And more importantly, I think the rebuilding of Venezuela is also very, very complex over the long term. So I think, you know, it's while it's easy to say that the military option is on the table, I think practically speaking, I think our policymakers ought to be a little bit more careful.
And in our last minute together, Eduardo, what are you going to be watching for going forward in the next week or so? What will you be looking for?
Well, I'm going to be very attentive to see what comes out of the Bogota meeting that took place today and see what concrete actions the Latin American presidents are going to put forth with their Canadian and U.S. counterparts. I mean, that's the first thing to look forward to. The next thing, of course, is what Maduro himself will do, because, you know, as we said earlier, while he may have, let's say he has 300,000 people that still support him and that he can still put out on the streets along with the military. I think, you know, his actions domestically right now are largely limited to repression. And so I would see, you know, increased repression at home as the economic situation deteriorates. And I think, you know, the other thing that we need to look at, and forgive me for putting this on the table in our discussion, but we also need to have, we need to be very conscious of what, you know, we have a number of Venezuelans here in Miami, including the mother of a fallen hero, Oscar Perez, the soldier who rebelled and was murdered by the Maduro forces. Well, she has been in detention in South Florida and is being threatened with deportation.
And we are going to have to leave it there. I'm so sorry to leave it there. Eduardo, thank you for joining us. That was Eduardo Gamarra, professor of political science. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.